Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Dawn Oblasny, Domenico Ciarello, and Anthony Ferreira. The question I want to talk about today is role ambiguity. How do you deal with it? Domenico, can you kick us off, please?
Sure thing. This is a difficult question for an entrepreneur to answer because ambiguity is part of my life. I take on many, many roles to make things happen. It's a characteristic of an entrepreneur. But as an entrepreneur who sees companies and deals with companies on a regular basis, buyers, marketing people, and things of that sort, it's very important that the people that I deal with are clear on their roles and what they're supposed to be doing on a day-to-day basis.
Anthony, in your situation, I know you have a lot of people who report to you. How does role ambiguity affect your ability to get work done?
I mean, it does in a day-to-day business, but I think from the angle of course, we don't need that in the workplace because it leads to a lot of things, leads to poor performance, poor outcomes, employees being unhealthy and that sort. And I really think it starts actually with the interview, learning about that person and understanding the expectations and goals and objectives right in that interview. So I know we'll probably talk a little bit more about how we resolve those things, but I really think it starts right there in the beginning. And then we can talk about some of the things on how to overcome that. But it's critical to the organization to have clear goals and objectives and job descriptions and the like. So we can talk a little bit more.
Yeah. Dawn, what are your thoughts?
Well, Anthony mentioned the workplace. And I think that within the workplace, if you have role ambiguity, it can lead to all the negative things he mentioned. I also work with some volunteer groups. And with volunteer groups, sometimes whoever stands up gets the role and they are going to have some role ambiguity as well. And if the person leading that group can kind of shepherd everyone in the right direction and tell everyone there's going to be some role ambiguity, but this is the way we're going to deal with that. We're going to, everyone's going to do their part. And so I think people can be led, whether it's a volunteer group or an employment situation. If there's foresight by the leader of the work organization that, hey, you know what, we're coming up on some lumps and some bumps, so there's going to be some role ambiguity. Let's go ahead and do our best with it. Let's meet every day to talk about how things are changing. You can possibly cope with it. But in general, I agree with Anthony that in the workplace, it can be a negative thing. It's really up to the leader or the leaders to steer things in the right direction to make the best of it.
So do you other two guys, do you agree that it's a leadership responsibility to create clear roles?
Absolutely. I love both what Anthony and Dawn said. If you look at a very strict culture, it starts right from the interview. This is what the business is all about. This is your role. And I think people need to be filtered out immediately at that process because you don't want to take on any excess baggage that really doesn't fit with your culture. And then what Dawn said, and I've dealt with lots of charities, being in the sporting goods business, hosting charity events, that's very much more loose. There's a lot more ambiguity in that culture versus a very strict, say, financial or pharmaceutical industry sector. And it's interesting, but yeah, you definitely can see the difference between strict culture and a very soft culture like a charity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to follow up with that, I do agree on the leadership role, which I'm part of every interview. So as I mentioned, really from the interview process, then when that employee's on board, clear goals and objectives, they understand the mission, and that comes from the person above. And having good general operating guidelines, or people call them standard operating procedures, is critical as well. But that constant communication, so it's weekly team meetings, and then it's leadership meetings with my team every 2 weeks. And then it's one-on-ones with my management team. So they clearly hear that communication, that message, and they understand where we're going from. When the employees are here after a year, we meet back again. And I say, remember that meeting we had when we first hired you in the interview? Did we meet all your expectations? And is it what you expected here in Hillsborough Township? And then we talk about career development. It's 1 to 3 years. It's 5 to 10 years. Where do you want to be? And then we celebrate successes. Employee recognition programs are extremely important as well. So it's all those things together. So we don't have that ambiguity.
So I guess the question I have is, if you have really strict roles and people know where they're supposed to be, they know what their lane is. Yes, you don't have the issue with things being dropped or things falling through the cracks or people stepping on each other's toes. And that's great. That's a really good thing about having real clear goals. But if you have super clear goals, where does that leave room for an employee to be creative or to take the ownership and kind of step outside and say, hey, I want to do this other thing? How does that work with really clear goals?
So I could take that one first. So that's extremely important because you don't want to be so rigid that you don't let that employee have that flexibility, which is what they need. So that's back in the goals and objectives again. So whether it's process improvements, individual projects, I want my team to make sure that they expand and create things beyond their job description because there's so much value in each employee that they may be hired for one position, but the value they bring and the other assets of the organization are critical. So bringing the best of everybody and let them having that flexibility and training outside of their core competency is just amazing. We've had people do amazing things here outside of their current job description. Mm-hmm.
That example is great because I remember a story way back when I was reading something about in the airline industry. It was about a ticketing agent or a client who has been dealing with ticketing agents, and they all kept saying, I can't help you, I can't help you, I can't help you. And then person actually stepped out of the lane and helped the person get what they want to the point where they actually like escorted them right to the gate, got them on the plane. And it was heralded by the company saying that this was an amazing feat done by this employee, that when everybody else turned their back on this person, she actually took on the role, did what she had to, and delivered the client right to the plane. So it was an exceptional example of stepping out of the boundaries. And that's frustrating thing about, I live in a different world being an entrepreneur, I have that mobility, but it's tough because when people want to excel and want to, you know, bring something to the table, sometimes they're corralled into this ambiguity of their job saying, you can't do anything more than this. This is what your job is, and don't step outside of those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. So the last question I kind of want to ask is, all right, you've, as a leader, you've done a real good job. You've created lanes, people know their roles, but you've given them room to grow. You still end up in a situation where there's some infighting, there's some issues. How do you notice when role ambiguity is creating a problem, and then how do you fix it?
Sure. I mean, I'll take that one as well. So one of the things we've done here is we have our monthly dashboards. So I always go back to the goals and objectives, but they're just so important. So knowing what the team is doing, sitting in on those weekly meetings, even though there's 15-minute check-ins, so just that constant communication. I always say it's about communication and expectations, and it's preparedness, not panic. So it's all about that communication. So if you're communicating with your team and your staff, and you're not just training your managers, because training is a key piece of it, but you need to train the staff as well. And everybody's in this together. Customer service is extremely important. I always say customer service and training. So it's really about that communication, meeting with your team and having clear expectations, so they know what my goals are as well as their managers and the overall for the township.
Mm-hmm. Don, what do you think?
I like the idea of communication and bubbling things up. So if you have a dashboard, as Anthony mentioned, or if you have a daily meeting with certain level people and the weekly meetings with managers or team leads, giving everyone a chance to find out what's going on. So if there is some friction because some people who are expanding their role a little bit to take on reasonable risks to help clients or customers more. If there's an issue and it bubbles up, then there can be some guidance and, help steer. And again, leadership hopefully is steering the ship in the right direction so that everyone's getting along. But, it's kind of human nature for people to kind of rub against each other the wrong way sometimes. And, giving some coaching on that as well, whether it's taking an assessment that helps everyone learn how each other thinks, mm-hmm. and then education on that assessment to those employees to say, hey, everyone, we just did this assessment last week. This is what the results are. And as your leader or as your HR person or whoever, we're telling you, here's how we're going to recommend coping with some of these crazy things in the future.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen situations where there's not enough clear boundaries around roles, and you end up with one person who's really work's got to get done, and they end up taking on 3/4 of the work, and then three other people are doing almost nothing. And I think as leaders, we have to be really cognizant of how is the work being done, who's responsible for it, where are those boundaries, and the communication. I love that we brought that up. I think communication is a really important part of role ambiguity. One of the things that I do with a lot of my clients is sit down and ask them, have you even thought about the roles, or do you just have these job titles and expect people to kind of figure it out on their own? So I think that's another piece of it as well. We do not have time to talk about that today because that is our 10 minutes. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.